We're so glad that you joined us this morning. If you're visiting, we're having fun worshiping God. As you can see, the choir can take us on a loop a little bit there. But we enjoyed and welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Amen. I have an announcement I want to make, an awesome announcement. David Fields was baptized, I believe, this month. Where's David Fields? There he is. Awesome. We're always happy when people get baptized and the angels are having fun in heaven. Amen. Great. If you missed in the morning, you missed a great class. I hope that you can catch up on that on the internet. But this today, I want to talk about forgiveness gives us freedom. If you think about it as Christians, we tend to talk about what is wrong with the world, what is wrong with people's lives. But we hardly go beyond that and tell them, hey, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And I think because we do that too much to the extent that people tend to see as phobic, as judgmental, as people that are resentful, that we're not welcoming. Why? Because we just tend to speak too much about what's wrong. And yes, there's space to speak about what is wrong. But we've got to tell them about what forgiveness they get in Jesus. How would you like to have the guy that comes in your house and tells you what's wrong with your house all the time? You want that guy to say, I've come to help you, that this house is in trouble and I can help you, right? You want the guy that stops by and says, your car has a flat tire, can I help you? Does that make sense? But if all they do is what's wrong, it's easy to come to a place of resentment and tuning them out because you don't want to hear them. Having said that, I hope you're healthy enough to hear both truths, which is what's wrong and how God is willing to bring forgiveness in our lives. Now let's read here. The Bible says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Right in front of Jesus, after so much beating and insult, and then casting lots, they were right there. And the Bible says that Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So there's something here we need to understand, that forgiveness does not need to be asked for. They didn't ask for it, but Jesus gave it. And I think there are people sitting in this room this morning, resentful, angry, held back by things they've not forgiven. When you're in that position, it's hard for you to turn around and tell the world, Jesus loves you and he can give you forgiveness. Because you yourself are a prisoner of stuff that is holding you back. So you've got to come out of jail of resentment and anger and all the things that hold us back so that we can hear God's voice and we can turn back and tell the world that Jesus gives forgiveness. Amen. But you cannot do that if you're held back by stuff that you've not forgiven and you're hoping that the person asks forgiveness. They didn't ask. Jesus gave it to them. He freed himself. You can see that for the sun stopped, Luke 23:45, shining, and the curtain and the table was down into two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Clearly, he was ready to go because he had done everything he needed to do. It's possible that would not have happened if in Luke 23:34, he was resentful, angry, and said, I will not forgive them until they ask for forgiveness. And I will not die on the cross. And I will not let go of my spirit until they listen to me. Yet, at this point, because he had dealt with that, he was ready to let go of the spirit. You see, forgiveness frees us. Are you held somewhere? Check your forgiveness. Are you unable to flourish, to hear God's spirit? Check your forgiveness. Are you afraid to tell people about Jesus? Check your forgiveness. Are you lacking just inspiration and connection with God? Check your forgiveness and you'll see what happens. So, Christ's forgiveness overcomes spiritual death. Colossians 2:13 to 15. You are dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. That we were dead because of our sins. Sin has a way of killing us. You may walk around, but your soul is dying. You are being dealt with in a way that you don't feel alive. Why? Because there's just sin living in your life. You're entertaining that sin and taking on more and more. And sometimes we explain that sin away, but the Bible says there that you are dead because of sin, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then Jesus comes and died on the cross so that our sins are forgiven and the sinful nature is cut away. 14. He canceled the records of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. That those records of the charges, the sins we carried, Jesus nailed that on the cross. And the Bible says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. It's possible that, yes, Jesus did that on the cross, but you're not taking it. He nailed everything on the cross, but you're not taking it. You're not taking that forgiveness because you're stuck in lack of forgiveness yourself, or you've not forgiven yourself. And some of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves. The Bible says, you know what? He forgave you totally, but you have a hard time forgiving yourself. And you go through this loop of trying to commit good deeds to qualify. And yes, we need to obey God, but they don't qualify us. We do that because we appreciate God's grace. Maybe you're just stuck because you have problems forgiving yourself. The Bible says clearly that he canceled the record of our charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. Canceled. Your worth is back. If you are feeling terrible, your worth is back. I mean, let's take an example of, I read somewhere, if you took an example of a new bill, 100 bill, okay? You took the 100 bill, came out of the Reserve Bank, and it went to the hands of a senator. And for some reason, the senator was in a gambling place, and he started going to, the same bill went to the gambling place. And that same bill ends up with a pimp. And that same bill ends up with a prostitute. That same bill goes and ends up with the worst of the worst people. But then, because it's a $100 bill, has it lost its value? It's still a $100 bill, right? Even though it's gone through many hands that you'd say, well, I'm not sure I want to touch that money. By the time that bill comes round from that place, and for some reason it comes and it's given as a contribution to the church, does it lose the value? That bill is you and I. We went through so many things. By the time we came to a place where Jesus nailed that and we accepted that he has nailed it, the value was restored that we're children of God. That's what happened. And many of us have lost that value because of just not understanding forgiveness. So we stuck in lack of understanding our value in the eyes of God. We think we are terrible, but really, God has nailed that and brought that back to us. God has brought back life, but we have to accept forgiveness the way he gives it. We repent, we learn from him how it works, and we turn around, and we come from spiritual death and become alive. When we are alive spiritually, we know it's not about performance, but we obey God because we see what he's done for us on the cross. For that to happen, everything I've described to happen, it takes light to bring salvation. That's all about salvation. It'll take light. We have to shine some light in our dark areas of our lives. You know, we all have dark corners, but you need to have some light going there, and then you begin to accept the salvation of Jesus Christ. One of the biggest challenges we have today with us as Christians is we don't shine light in our dark corners. What happens if you leave your basement dark for a year? What happens there? All kind of things are going to grow there, right? Fungal disease and all kind of stuff, cockroaches and everything's going to go down there. Do you want to live in that place? Would you like to turn your bedroom off for 1 year, just the lights are off for 1 year? You'll be walking through and many accidents will happen. We need to get you some insurance. You understand that? But the insurance may come and look at yours and say, we can't pay for this because how long have you been like this? That's not Jesus, though. He's ready to deal with this. You need light. It takes light to bring salvation. Let's talk about that. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. But when some of the Jews saw the crowds, they were jealous. So they slandered Paul and argued against whatever he said. Have you been around that situation? If you say the weather is blue, they say, no, I don't think the sky is blue. I think it's navy blue or something. Have you been around people like that? They argue, they say the opposite of everything you say. Couples, you understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes you get in that position as couples. You say something and the other person says the other thing. I think we're going to do this. No, I think we're going to do that. Just for the sake of arguing sake. You have friends like that, singles, that just argue for the sake of arguing? The Bible says they were envious and all that stuff, and they were just arguing with Paul about every little thing. Whatever he said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, it was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth. That God said to Paul, we've made you a light to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the world. Let me ask you a question. Do you have things you're afraid about, of you? Because if you do, you cannot help the world to overcome that stuff. So here is the juggle of it. Everything you're going through, God wants you to go through that so that you can come to Him and He will give you salvation and overcome that. And yet when we go through stuff, we wish it just goes away. Oh no, there's a reason why you're going through that, so that you can help people that will come through that situation. And you need to be in the light when you're going through that, so that you can help people to get salvation. So the idea of portraying church or Christianity as perfect people is flawed. Because we're imperfect people that God can use. You see, if you put a perfect bowl over light, the light will go off, right? Or will not show if it's electricity. But if you put a bowl that is cracked up over light, the light will show. It'll be very artistic, as a matter of fact. That's you and I. We are cracked people. But God wants to use us to bring salvation to the ends of the world. So some people have a hard time finding God because they think they have to be perfect. And some Christians always walk in a life of guilt and shame because they think they have to be perfect. Having said that, it's not to tolerate sin, but rather to walk through sin by bringing that sin to the light. It loses power, and then we can help everyone else to know God. And that way we can share our broken stories and see how God helped us overcome, and then tell God how that changed the world. Does that make sense? So if you're feeling sorry for yourself as a Christian, you need to stop and say, how can I bring light to this and overcome and use this story to help other people to know God? Maybe you're spending too much time feeling sorry for yourself. No, you're there so that you can bring light to the people. So you understand that it takes light to bring salvation. You know, I think that many of us don't embrace our lives because we think it's a bad thing that we're going through it as Christians. And God would rather that you embrace your life and see what God is doing at that moment. When I say you don't embrace your life, you just keep looking at that. I wish 2 days come and I'm done with this. No, stay at the moment and figure out, what is God doing right now? What is God doing in my character right now? What is God doing in my mind right now, in my heart? Then I can change instead of running away. Embrace your station. Run from that. Bring light to that. Have some conversation. Study the Bible from that place. And God's word will bring you to a place of salvation. Stay in touch with your realities. Yeah, you can play with that stuff and go to all kinds of places. But you gotta, when it's all gone, what's your reality? Does that make sense? Stay in touch with your realities. On One of the criminals who hang on the, hang there, in, this is on the cross, hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. A story we know well. But here's the deal. Two of them in the same circumstance, same situation. Jesus in the middle, one on the right, one on the left. And one is angry, saying, if you are God, save us from this situation. Is that you? Angry with God. If I am your daughter, if I am your son, save me from this situation. Being entitled makes us walk away from the realities of our lives. Wanting magic in our lives instead of walking through things makes us walk away from the realities of our lives. But when you're in touch with your reality, like the second guy who says, you know what, we're on the same sentence, but hey, don't you fear God? He has done nothing. We humble ourselves. We come to a reality of who we are. The question is, which one are you? Are you angry? Simmering with God. Like I like to say, sometimes you wanted your life to be in this place in 2018, but right now you're still back here. Maybe in 2018 you wanted to have finished college and be done with college, but you're still in college. That can make you angry with God. Why are these subjects so difficult? They're not difficult. Embrace your place and figure out how to grow from that place. Maybe by 2018 you wanted to have been done with your mortgage, but you're still paying mortgage and you're very upset. Well, you know, God has given you maybe 5 more years to do that or so. Embrace that place and let God work that out. Maybe you wanted to be done with children by 2018, but you're still walking with children by 2018. Some of us are just beginning or planning to see how we're going to have the children. Some of us wanted the children's stuff to be done. But we're still, God is still with us on that. And sometimes you get done with children, then the next thing is grandchildren. And if you're around for a long time, great-great-grandchildren. So it never gets, it doesn't, you see the illusion of what you're chasing? Stick with God. Don't stick with this problem running away. Stick with God. Stay in touch with your realities. You get angry when you're just trying to wish stuff away instead of saying, what is God's role in this? The other guy said, you know what? I'm here because God allows me to be. Maybe the same sentence, but I fear him. Remember me. We're in a better place when we go to remember me, God, right now. You know, one of the things you need to be doing a lot when you pray and in the days, ask God to remember you. Ask God to remember you wherever you are. Say, remember me, God, right now. And be thankful that you're going through it and God will remember you. It'll change your perspective on life. It'll help you see the world very differently. We have to start asking God to show us, to remember us, but to show us where we should go as Christians and not be angry and demanding of other things. When that has happened, you're no longer angry. You're humble in a place. You're in a humble place. Your role then is to rescue or rescue to save others. You're not just to enjoy that life as a Christian. Stand back and help other people to know God. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. So we've been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God. The Israelites were done that. That was done to the Israelites. What? So they don't just sit in their own life and comfort, to turn around and serve others and save others as well without fear. Are you afraid of being a Christian? Are you afraid to be known as one? Are you even afraid to talk about Christianity? Christianity has a bad rap nowadays because of all kinds of things. But the real Christianity in the Bible is okay. There's no problem with that. Are you afraid of being known as a Christian? We're not afraid. In holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. We're going to do this though, in holiness. And we've got to be righteous as we do this. If we are righteous about helping people to know God, we're going to be empathetic, but still tell them God's will. And we're going to be holy, we're going to be pure about that. Then it says, and you, my little son, will be called to be the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell the people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sin. Question. When is the last time you told somebody about getting salvation? How they can get salvation through forgiveness of their sins? It's easy to tell people they're going to hell. But why didn't you tell them about forgiveness of their sins? And how God can help that? How God can transform that? I mean, did you forgive anyone this week? Have you asked for forgiveness this week? Or maybe said sorry? It's a quiet place, is it? It's quiet because when you start finding out how imperfect you are, you will apologize. I've had to apologize to my daughters. I've apologized to my wife. Apologize to people. We have to get used to apologizing and get into a place of humility. Amen? The idea that I'm perfect and that's your problem, just suck it up and get on with it, is a myth. It hardens us and makes us horrible people. We walk around like we are ready to fight. What's the point of that? We've got to talk about salvation and how you can get it through forgiveness. But how will you talk about forgiveness when you don't practice that? You don't give forgiveness and you don't ask for it. Say, forgive me. And ask people, forgive me for what I've done. But also, forgive other people that have done things to you. Some people, they'll never ask you that question, but you can forgive them. That's the issue you got to bring up, think about. We are rescued to save others. So when you see your neighbor, reach out to them and rescue them. And your neighbor is not the guy that lives to the right, to the left. It's the guy that you'll see in the shop, the guy you see at the office, the guy you'll see at your gym, the guy you'll see at your yoga, the guy in many places you'll see them. The ballroom dance, wherever you go, that's your neighbor. That's the neighbor you save. Does that make sense? You got to pray about it and God will bring you to these people. But to do that well, to be able to share what God has, to bring them to a place of forgiveness, you got to ask yourself, how indebted do you feel towards God? I mean, do you feel indebted at all towards God? It's a feeling that is foreign to many of us. We don't like to feel indebted. We like to feel like I've paid my bills, I've done everything, I'm on point, and don't ask me anything. That's how we like to feel. Self-sufficiency is what we're taught. We don't like to feel like, you know what? I'm indebted. Even with a mortgage, I've paid up to the, I'm on to speed. I'm ahead of my time here. That's the way we think. I've done everything right. No, there's a space to be indebted with God. You see, then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, this was the Pharisee that had invited him, not Simon, the other guy. The Pharisee that invited him. He said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to another. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both. I like how the Bible says that. He kindly forgave them. He did not forgive them begrudgingly and says, angrily, I gotta forgive you because I'm a Christian. No, no, no. He kindly forgave them. I'm happy to do this. I have been forgiven myself, I guess. I'm happy to do this. I have to forgive you because if I don't, you're gonna hold it against me. He didn't do that. He kindly forgave them. I'm gonna forgive you, but you owe me one. No, he kindly forgave them. You don't owe me one. He kindly forgave them. The Bible says, kindly, kindly. I'm repeating because it's not a familiar word for us. Kind. Kind. Just, we're nice. We like to be a bit, you know, man, you touch me, you're going to know. No, kind. Kind. kind, kindly forgave them, both canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? The Bible says, Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled larger debt. That's right, Jesus answered. There's a flip side of that. It's true, 500 makes sense. Two, that's a lot compared to 50. I'll be much more joyful. But think about it. The flip side of that, the 50 pieces guy cannot sit around and think, well, I owed less. Can he sit around and think like that? Is it possible that you became a Christian and lost your indebtedness because you think, I was okay anyway. I was not a bad guy. My sins are forgiven, but I was okay. I'm not like these guys. I mean, I've had stories of that guy. I was a good guy. That you start looking down on people. When you're on the 50 silver coin side, you may be lacking indebtedness. So you don't reach out and tell anyone anything. Because you feel you're okay and they're way below you, why would you talk to such people? Now, you don't say that. You may not think that. But you behave that way. You may not say it, think that way, but behave that way. It's deep inside. Very deep. I think the reason sometimes we're not reaching across the aisle and reaching out to people who are not like us is because we have this issue. We have this issue of not feeling we owed a lot. It is a deep, deep segregation within us of not reaching out to people that need to hear God's word. Just because they don't look like us or maybe didn't go through what we went through. We got to overcome that and not be like this man here. How indebted do you feel? That's the question. Having lived in many countries and traveled a little bit by the grace of God, I realized that's not our strength as Americans. We don't feel indebted easily. We go the other way. But the Bible teaches us to be indebted with God. We've got to learn that. To be indebted and give it to the community, give it to other people. It's a healthy place to be with God and you'll feel for people. Let's follow up on this story moving on. Reservations can get in the way of salvation. If you're losing indebtedness, you're not far from having reservations because eventually you're very reserved about certain things. But you're not indebted anyway towards the salvation. And I want to tell you that take some time and see how God has saved you. I know your life is not perfect and I know you have troubles and I know you struggle. But take time to see how God has saved you. It'll be amazing. Take time and write down what you're thankful for and see what happens. And if you did that every day, it would be amazing. Because it's easy to feel just unhappy about life. It's not what I wanted it to be. I have news for you. It is okay. It is you that needs to change your attitude. Bring in the right lens and things will be fine. Reservations can get into the way of salvation. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. This culture was very common back then. You went to a place, they washed your feet. There are countries that still do it, not a lot today, but they still do it. Is Zach here? Where is Zach? Is it still going on in your country? I think so. Now you got to talk to Zach. He'll tell you what we're talking about. But Zach is from Uganda, but that culture still plays there in some places. If you come in as a part of respect, that was what they did. Would you wash my legs if I came in? Not with this kind of shoes, with sandals, and I've been jumping through the sewage and other places. So I wanted you to get the gravity of what this was like. I mean, ladies, with her hair. Are you kidding me? Your hair. The gravity, you know, when we read this, we are thinking they had paved roads, they were driving in cars, they must have just taken good wash of their feet before they got in the car and then come out. And no, they were walking in dusty places. There was sewage everywhere. You know, there were donkeys, they were jumping through that as well, and the cows and all that stuff. And you know, some of us have not seen cow dung yet and how it smells and touched it. That's kind of the stuff they were walking through. You got to take a trip out of the city and go see the cow and see the cow den and touch that stuff. It's not poisonous. Yeah, if you're not ready, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But look at what the Bible says, that she was washing the feet, but she was also washing them with her hair, with tears, and wiped them with her hair. It says that she's given us her heart to God so much. There's no reservation. If I can wipe your feet with my hair, there's no reservation. It's uttermost humility. And there's no fear of losing face because they understand who they are. And they're not pretending. They're real. And that's what she did. You didn't greet me. Jesus turns this, goes on. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But as a person who is forgiven little, shows little love, then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. There's a lesson here. Simon the Pharisee was knowledgeable. He knew the Bible. But he was reserved in how he was treating Jesus. And yet this woman who was so sinful and knew her sins, and there were many, was totally ready to embrace God because she was tired of that life. Do you realize that we do that? That we think that the world has something to offer to us. I see Christians talking negatively about God and the body of God and wanting to run to the world. You've been a Christian too long, you've forgotten how the world runs. And if you got involved in Bible studies with people and they told you their stories, you would appreciate your life. Really, you would. That was the problem with Simon. Just, you know, standing there, not really taking the full gravity of what it means to be saved. And yet she came and did all that. I have a question for you. What's your humility level? I mean, she was with her tears. The Bible talks about a principle that God exalts the humble and God opposes the proud. That principle is very similar to gravity. The only difference, it takes a long time to happen. God will walk with us when we're humble. Really walks through our hearts, our minds. We grow, we change, we transform. Our marriages become better. Our parenting becomes great. Our relationships, and yes, even children, if you're humble, your parents change eventually, amen? And everything changes, and we can win the world when we are humble. But if we are proud, arrogant, judging the world, we cannot help the world. I'm inclined to listen to a man that is humble. And I don't know why, but I'm inclined to listen to a guy that is willing to be humble and help me. I guess because I'm proud. But when a guy is proud, I'm feeling like, I can't trust this. Where is this going? He may take over now from this point on. You see how that works? We've got to be humble and allow God to walk with us. And Simon wasn't doing that. He knew the Bible. Don't get me wrong. The Pharisee knew the Bible. But this woman did not know the Bible, and look at how she came to God. Reservations can get in the way of salvation. Is it possible the only reason we're not effective as disciples and helping the world and just changing our marriages and our lives is that we have reservations in our hearts? Do you have a reservation? Do you have a one another relationship that you can talk about things and get help? Or do you have reservations about those kind of relationships? They're in the Bible, one another good relationships. They're in there. Are there things you don't talk about in your Christian life? I understand you maybe have been traumatized We're changing as a people. I hope you feel that change. Can you be the change, though, and talk to someone and says, this is hard for me to talk about. Can you listen? Here's what I'm feeling. And then hopefully they give you back safety and care and help and growth. Amen? But sometimes we create a clique of group of people that just talk about, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. And that doesn't help. Now, I'm not saying we talk to everybody. You got to find the safe people that can help you in your life. But let's talk through things so we can change things. Then Jesus said to this woman, your sins are forgiven. Jesus wants to forgive our sins. That's important. And we need to pass that information to the rest of the world. Let's finish here. We can't be ashamed of good news. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. The good news tells us how God saves us, makes us right in His right, in His sight, excuse me. This accomplished from the start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. Everything we've said here cannot be accomplished without faith. You have to get in the Word of God. You have to study out the Word of God. You have to have a conversation around that if you're visiting. Please, studies. Talk about it. The faith will come out of your study with the Word of God. When you understand that, change happens. God bless you.